One of my favorite stories or experiences to share on Mother's Day is of one such weekend I spent in Memphis when Monya and I had been in ministry for a few years. I was out cutting the lawn one Friday, or edging along the curb of the street, and the FedEx man approached our house in a rather brisk tone, high-stepping. I think he even had his tennis shoes on this day. This was not a day for casual footwear or slippers that are normally seen on Sunday mornings. He was in a run. And he barely even had time to say hello. He's normally a really friendly guy. And I said, "How you doing today?" He said, "Man, I'm in a hurry." I said, "Busy day, huh?" This weekend before Mother's Day. He said, "Yes," as he jumped back into the truck. He said, "Second busiest shipping day of the year outside of the Christmas season." I thought to myself, wow. And I knew he was in a hurry, but I at least had to push him a little further for his statistics. And I said, "Well, what about Father's Day?" He started his truck, was driving away, and said, "About like any other day." We take care of Mama, don't we? Because Mama takes care of us. So we gather in worship. And how appropriate it is that we in the Christian church, the ones who preach about and strive in every way we can to practice love, we make Mother's Day something to be celebrated in the house of worship. Because is there any greater example of love for us earthly people than that of the mother for her child? We see it all around us, and we experience it in the subtle. Just this week, Luke and I had a little baseball practice, and we went with some friends to dinner afterward. One of his little friends, Cole, had some good-looking, piping-hot French fries. And his daddy reached over to get one. Old Cole slid that plate back. He wasn't letting daddy get any of those fries. And Mama saw it. She said, "Cole, he was getting those for me." And Cole, "Oh, okay, well, let me move this plate back, Mama." We take care of Mama because Mama takes care of us. It's the nature of how we live in relationships. We're grateful for those who give, and we want to give back. We celebrate that love by sharing it. Yes, reciprocating it to them, but also giving it to others around us. And isn't that what Jesus does for us as the ambassador, the creator of our faith? He loves us in the spirit of the mother, so we want to, what? Reciprocate, give it back to him, but also we're inspired by him to love others. That's what he calls us to do, doesn't it? It's what he commissions us. He says, love the world. And when you're loving the world, imagine, believe, know that that is also loving me. It's the very root and essence of our faith. Now maybe you're saying, "Well, Jody, you're getting a little too sensitive there. Now Jesus was a man and you're talking about this motherly, this feminine in image of him." But we don't have to look very far in Scripture to see those very words are uttered by him, right? Some of us are familiar with that text where he says, where he speaks those words of yearning to shelter Jerusalem like a mother hen. He said, "Oh, I yearn to protect you, to love you, to nurture you as a mother hen cares for her chicks." That's the nature of love and sacrifice and grace of our Savior. Now that's beautiful. We've had a good, warm, fuzzy Mother's Day sermon here, hadn't we? Wouldn't it be a nice point to say amen and go home and go eat some fried chicken? Anybody having fried chicken today? I hope the preacher is, but I'm not sure. But Luke said he was, so maybe I'm in. But all of this text isn't warm and fuzzy. And all of the call and nature of our Lord isn't warm and fuzzy. Because of his love, he also sacrificed and suffered for those which he gave his life. You see, that's at the root of what Peter shares with us this morning. It's that root of description where he says that Jesus, in the words of our sermon title, was the suffering servant for those that he loved. Those that he came to give his life for. Those that he loved above himself. You know, the writer, as we hear those words of Jesus saying, "I yearn to shelter you as a mother hen," the writer there tells us prior to that who Jesus was speaking against. He speaks of Herod being not the mother hen, but being the fox. See, we've got two different people or two different characters in that text. If we think of ourselves like the chicks, those who need protection, Jesus being the mother hen to shelter us, but the world being the fox that seeks our demise. Have we ever felt like that? Have we ever felt attacked by those around us, by the world, by our culture, by our so-called friends or our situations, whether it be economic, physical, or social upheaval? We all have felt at some point the attack, the venomous eyes of the fox. And Jesus says and portrays how his love is contrary to what the world gives us. You know, think of that mother hen image. Now, I don't know a lot about chicken raising, but I have heard that there are some creatures known as chicken hawks. I don't know if we have them around here, but there are these attackers known, these predators as chicken hawks that look for the chicks. They want the little ones they can pick up, right? But the mother hen, in the image of Jesus, when she sees that chicken hawk, she shelters them under her wings because guess what? She's too large. The chicken hawk can't get her. She protects those under her care and even takes the attack of the predator. And that's the nature of our Lord. He shelters us from the ones, the perils, the pains that we face that are larger than us. The attacks greater even than a chicken hawk seeking our demise. We all have felt the pain, the claws, the torture and peril of a broken world. And it is in our Savior that we find shelter and solace and comfort for our weary journeys. But you know, as Christian people, we hear these words of where Jesus calls and describes himself as a suffering servant. And I don't know about y'all, I get the warm, fuzzy feeling when I think that that's what he does for me. But then when I think that I'm called to walk like him and look like him and be like him to the world, I'm not real fired up about those words of suffering servant then. I like to receive it more than I want to give it. It makes us think, is God calling us to be a doormat? Just let people run all over us in the world and take advantage of us in his name? Are we just supposed to wilt under every attack and peril of the world? be little pacifist Christians? Take the attacks all in the name of Jesus. You see, when I hear that word and I ponder that call of our Lord, the suffering servant, I think and I'm reminded most of all that our call as people of faith is to serve the world in His name. To love the world in His name. To look like Jesus to a hurting world in His name. We're not called to suffer in His name. You see, that's the difference in my mind. We're called to serve in His name, even in the midst of suffering. You see the difference? We're not merely called to suffer, to be under peril and attack, to just be poor, pitiful me, people. No, we're called to serve in a hurting world, even at times when that means that we're going to suffer a little along the journey. The call is not to suffer. The call is to serve and share His love with a hurting world. But we need a little perspective, don't we? As Christian people, maybe as new people on this journey called Christianity, perhaps we wonder and we get weary and we say, what's the use? Why do I want to practice Christianity then? I want to get saved. I want my salvation secure. But why do I want to act like Jesus if I'm going to be under the same attack and even maybe sometimes more attack than the world out there? Maybe we question. We say, come on, preacher, give us a little help here. Why is the Christian walk just as hard, or at times harder, than the world out there? You know, one thing I think we have to hear with this text is the beginning of this scripture, this book by Peter. This very short narrative written by the rock on which Jesus built His church, he says to us, and he begins this reading by saying this, we are strangers here. In other words, this is not our home, Christian folk. And to believe we're strangers, I think of the imagery of a sports team. The professional NBA, the National Basketball Association right now, is going through their playoffs. And one of the most challenging things is when you're not the home team, right? It's hard, Charles, even in the SEC, to win on the road, isn't it? It's not fun when you're strangers in the opposing land. We're criticized, right? They boo us. They jeer us. They make fun of us when we miss a free shot. When we're not at home, we're not in our comfort zone, we're at times under attack when we're strangers. Now that makes sense in the world of sport, right? Well, wouldn't that be true in the world of faith and life and practice as well? We, friends, are strangers in this weary land called the world. This isn't our home. So it makes sense that this place where we're stranger, that at times as Christian people we'll be under attack, we'll feel the pain, we'll know the persecution of not being where, of not being at home. It's not where we're made to last. So as long as we journey as strangers in this broken world, we'll know the pain of this broken world. Oh, but we know the rest of the story. We know the climax.
That we, like those basketball coaches, you know what I often see from those basketball coaches? When they lose on the road, they don't get real distraught. They understand that that's part of the process. They don't completely throw their game plan out the window and say, my goodness, I need to put in a new defense. I need to learn a new offense. I need to betray the game. No. They understand that it's part of the journey. That the battle may have been lost, but the victory is winning the entire series. Isn't that a message for us as people of faith? Let's don't give up on our game plan as people of Jesus Christ. When the world attacks us and we feel like we're behind at times, don't betray your offense or defense in the name of Jesus. Continue to practice His goodness despite the attacks of the world. Because victory in Him is sure and certain for us who serve the Savior. I think that's what Peter means when he says, when the world attacks us, when the world lies, when the world abuses us, don't take on the world's nature. Still maintain the game plan. Look like Jesus and love through it all. But I've got to be your pastor today too. I'm not just here to call you to look like Jesus. I'm here as your pastor to hear your pain. To know, as I know in myself, it is hard. And it hurts. When the world attacks, when family betrays us. When we don't know if our job's going to last. When we don't know if we can keep going against this illness, when the grief too, well, it overwhelms us. So I've got to be your pastor in this sermon today too. And I've got to remind you of these words. We're going to suffer. But our help is in the name of the Lord. Let me say it this way. We were having a discussion last evening about a prior mole problem that we had had around the Hill House. Has anybody ever had a mole problem in their lawn? We fought those moles with every means that we could think of and that we thought was necessary, and some things we thought weren't necessary. We got poison, put out the poison. I think that just increased their immune system. They got a little stronger. We put out some traps. We didn't catch any moles. We caught some other varmints, but no moles. We even got a cat. That seemed to help a little bit. You know, you get a cat in our neighborhood, you don't go to the local pet store. You just put out food and you got a cat. Pretty simple. May even have two now, I think. We had a mole problem. And you know, all those efforts we tried, we still had moles. And you know what? Someone helped me to realize eventually. They said, you don't have a mole problem, right? Some of you know. Some of you know the answer. You don't have a mole problem. You know what your problem is? You got a grub problem. As long as you've got the worms and the grubs, you're going to have the moles. Until you take away their food source, their nutrition, they're going to keep coming back. They're going to persevere. They're going to endure as long as they're fed, no matter how greatly they're attacked. Friends, the world is going to attack us. The world is going to poison our journey of faith. The world is going to put out traps, and the world will have predators like praying cats that want to attack us. But know this, church. Know this, people of faith. As long as we're nurtured, as long as we're fed with the strength that's bigger than ours, we can endure. The one who feeds and nurtures our soul is the suffering servant that came down from heaven. Friends, that's not preacher talk. That's a pastor looking at you this morning and saying, look, I've tried it alone. I've known the peril of this world. I've tried to muster through on my own strength, and at the depths of my despair, friends, I cried out, Lord, help. Feed me with your strength. Sustain me in the brokenness of this world, that I may love and reflect you. No matter what the world throws my way. Cry out to him, friends, and he'll sustain you in his love, now and forever. Amen. As people of faith, we're called.